Get ready. Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is almost here. It's Black Friday in July, and it's coming your way. For 5 days only, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Plus amazing doorbuster deals and free shipping on everything. Yes, everything right to your door. So mark your calendars. Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale starts July 24th. Shop everything home at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com. Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
This is a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.
For the Hidden Killers Podcast, I'm Stacey Cole. Well, the criminal trial of Brian Kohberger has now officially been scheduled. It will be starting in June of 2025. The trial is expected to last 3 months, including jury selection, the trial itself, verdict, and possible sentencing. Let's go to the courtroom for coverage of the hearing.
Please be seated. Are you ready? Hey, let's get on the record, please. Thank you. We are now on the record. This is State versus Brian Kohberger, CR 2922805. Present in the courtroom is Mr. Kohberger, represented by Ms. Taylor and Ms. Massa, and Mr. Logston are participating over Zoom. Remotely. The state is represented by Mr. Thompson and Ms. Jennings, Latah County Prosecutor's Office, and Mr. Nye and Ms. Beatty are participating over Zoom remotely. So we're here for a scheduling order, and I think we're about 13 months from the arraignment, and I think at this point, this is my opinion, that we're getting to a point of diminishing returns, and I sent to counsel last Friday on a proposed scheduling order for a lot of things, deadlines, including setting the trial. And so I also have set this hearing so that we can discuss this and see kind of where everybody is. So let me start with the state. Thanks.
Thank you, Your Honor. We've reviewed the court's proposed scheduling order with the attorney team, and we are agreeable to it. It makes sense that we do the trial in the summertime when high school is out across the street and when the university is out and the conflicting activities. And the schedule that Your Honor proposes is acceptable to the state. I would note just a minor detail that June 19th is also a legal holiday. The court specified July 4th as a legal holiday. We wouldn't be able to hold trial, but
sure.
19th as well. Other than that, we have no objection to the court's proposal.
All right. Thank you. I mean, as I went through all of this, I mean, there's going to be a lot of motions, a lot of hearings, a lot of work. There already has been a significant amount of work, as we all know. And when I tried to balance this out, I do think it was it's pretty fair, balanced, and I hope realistic. So, Ms. Taylor.
Thank you, Judge. Your Honor, first, I know the court has listed this as taking place in Latah County. We haven't been heard on our change of venue yet. That's to come.
Totally understand that.
So I don't want anybody thinking I'm agreeing to Latah County as all. The June of 2025, that's the time frame that we have been working towards. I am hopeful that we can come in there. We're working towards that date. I think it's reasonable to set that date. As the court's aware, mitigation is something that takes a significant amount of time. We've had that underway since the day we took this case. We continue to work that very hard. I spoke with our mitigation expert last night about this date, and there's a lot of work yet to be done, but we're still working towards that. So I think it's reasonable to set that. I just want the court to know that that's not finished at this point. That's very much ongoing, and new things are coming out that we need to follow up. But with that said, I think it's reasonable to go ahead and pick the June of 2025 as a trial date time.
And by the way, I think you understand that, all counsel understand that, but this is a 3-month trial. So I was calculating 2 weeks to set the jury, then 8 weeks of trial, and then 2 weeks for mitigation and sentencing. And I mean, that's a guess. But I think it's enough time for all of those things to take care of. And obviously, the last 2 weeks would only be if Mr. Pofferberg was convicted. Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor. I do want to bring up a couple of issues I have with some of the deadlines. I looked this over. Our team has talked about it. I've gone over this with Mr. Koberger. I do have a couple of concerns about the deadlines, and I'll just bring those up to the court for the court's consideration. As far as motions challenging the death penalty, and that's in right under motion practice letter A that the court has on its draft, we can have a lot of those filed by September 5th. I would note for the court that that's ahead of the state's final discovery date, and that's ahead of the state's deadline to produce its aggravation case that it will use. We can meet this September 5th deadline, but we're going to ask the court to give us a little leeway when there's something new that comes our way. If there's an amendment to a motion or a new motion that becomes relevant based on something new, we'd like a 2-week window after receiving something new to file that. But the bulk of it we can get in by the deadline for that the court has asked here, and that's just not a problem.
Sure, I understand that. I looked at that. I wanted to have that early because, you know, it's a bigger question.
Yeah.
And I was aware of the Ross case. I think you had 16 motions in that case. So I wanted to sort of address those issues early.
Your Honor, we can definitely do that. We can address a lot of things early. We just don't want to be precluded from bringing an amended motion or a new motion if something new is filed that would have been relevant to something we've already filed.
I'm not going to prevent you from doing that.
Perfect. Thank you.
And by the way, a lot of these deadlines, I mean, you can certainly do them earlier if you'd like to. I would encourage everybody to do that. Thank you.
Your Honor, then moving on, the motions in limine under letter C, the court has suggested February 13th as the date for that. I think in large part, we can do some by then. But the exhibits that we'll exchange and witness lists that we'll exchange aren't due until after that. And again, I think there might be additional motions that would be relevant after those things have been exchanged. So if the court wanted to move the whole deadline so we had all of those motions in limine at once, I think that would be reasonable. But if the court wants to keep this deadline, as long as we have the ability to bring more motions in limine based on new filings, we'll be okay with that as well.
Sure. And I was also thinking about, you know, I guess experts, for example, I mean, they may have longer hearings that, you know, we're going to have to work through all of these things. I mean, this is just a structure.
Thank you. The court had listed March 14th as a trial brief date, and that is ahead of some of the other deadlines, recognizing that the trial is the innocence phase and the sentencing phase, if it happens, is the mitigation and aggravation. I would just say this is a fine deadline, but we won't be touching anything to do with our mitigation by then, if that's what the court anticipated.
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
I think we, well, yeah, we had March 3rd for mitigation. I figured by then you would pretty much have that in hand.
We should. We hope to. That brings me to the last point I wanted to talk about. The court has proposed setting a mutual exchange of aggravation and mitigation materials, and I'd ask the court to reconsider that. We will aim for our March 3rd deadline. That's our plan right now. If something changes that, then we'll come back and let the court know and talk to counsel. But would ask that the state's aggravation package be provided to us earlier than the same day as our mitigation. Should we get to that point, the state has the burden of establishing the statutory aggravators. There are some things I think I might be able to guess about how the state's going to try to present information, but I don't think I should have to guess. I think I should have that information well ahead of providing the mitigation that will be presented in response to any aggravating information that's presented by the state. So I'd ask the court to set the date for the state to produce its information much earlier than ours. The state filed its notice a year ago yesterday, and I have a lot of questions about what the state would intend to use to try to establish many of the statutory aggravators they've listed. I know I've heard the court talk about super due process in a capital case, and I think it's appropriate for us to be on notice and have be provided discovery, to be provided a full range of what the state intends to use to establish those if we ever get to that point. And I think we need those ahead of our deadline for mitigation. So I'd ask the court to move that deadline up quite a bit earlier. And that's it.
Thank you very much. Mr. Thompson, do you have any issues about having the aggravation in advance for a period of time?
No, sir. As long as we will have the option, the ability to supplement that once we see whatever the defense plans to offer in the way of mitigation.
Well, I'm appreciating that, you know, with these deadlines, that we're going to have supplement all the way along. I just don't want to be scrambling around a month before the trial. We're all going to be very, very busy. And the more we can resolve certain motions, supplements, whatever we need to do, I'm trying to do this sooner than later.
Yes, sir. And that's our preference as well.
And Ms. Taylor as well.
Yes, Your Honor.
But just to make sure, though, I mean, you have to do your job and the state has to do its job and I have to do my job. But I think this is a great step, okay, to set these deadlines and hearings so that we can move through this. It's going to take a while. But anything else we need to address today, Mr. Thompson?
I don't believe so. Thank you.
Ms. Taylor?
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
Okay. Well, it's very short, and I'm grateful that everybody is working together. Thank you. Take care, everybody. We are adjourned.
All right.
This has been a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.